church.
And let me just say this politically, though. There are certain parties, and I'm going to say it, right? Because usually we try to beat around the bush, and everybody knows what we're talking about anyway. Your Democratic Party today is typically in favor of these things, and the Republican Party sometimes is in favor of these things just because culture has been pushed that far, you know, so we just slowly start adopting things anyway. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm just a Jesus fan. That's all that I am, and I listen to what Jesus says. But there is one political party that does tend to be more accurate biblically when it comes to moral judgment than the other, and that would be the Republican Party. That's just the facts, right? That is just the facts. And let me just go through a few things here. When it comes to homosexuality or gay rights, I don't believe, for instance, there's a lot of things I can go over legally. I don't think the law should be able to tell you who you sleep with or who you don't sleep with. I think that's big government. I think it's too much government, right? Even though I don't agree with a man sleeping with a man, that's just morally. Legally, I don't think you should be in people's bedrooms telling them who they can't sleep with, right? I think that's ridiculous, right? The government's too big. God doesn't like big government. He warned Israel about big government. Don't agree with it, right? This may garner some new questions, so, but when it comes to things, right, like I said, for instance, homosexuality, the Democratic Party typically, and like I said, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, right? I usually vote a certain way, I tend to vote a certain way, but that's just because I'm comparing against God's judgment. It has nothing to do with a certain party. I'm not for a certain party or against a certain party. I vote according to what I believe is closest to God's moral judgment. But the Republican Party typically is more cautious when it comes to things like that, homosexuality, gay rights, and things like that. And if you were to, I mean, for God's sake, I mean, read Romans 1 and 2. I mean, to say that the Bible approves of homosexuality is ridiculous. I mean, you're making that up for the sake of culture, because there's nowhere in the Bible. Again, God, because you're homosexual doesn't mean you're going to hell, right? Well, let me rephrase that. Because you have these tendencies doesn't mean you're going to hell or something like that, right? It's based off your belief regarding Jesus, like we've been saying all night, not based on your works, right? I'm not saying that. It doesn't make you more qualified or less qualified than me for the inheritance God's provided because you're either homosexual or not homosexual. It's just a sin like any, the whole bunch of them, right? It just all came from Adam. But the Bible does not approve of that behavior or even those desires, right? And when it comes to things on the economy, when it comes to gay rights and things like that, the Republican Party, the judgment that is more prevalent in the Republican Party is typically more in line with the moral judgment that God lays forward in the Bible, which you can see in the Bible. When it comes to the economy, for instance, if you don't work, you don't eat kind of a concept is more Republican. Individuals taking responsibility to make sure that someone, if they're able to work, welfare is great if you're not able to work, for instance, right? If you cannot work, the Bible would call you poor indeed. But there are people that are poor, but maybe not poor indeed. In other words, they're not truly poor. Because there are people that are poor of their own choosing because they can work and there are jobs available and they don't want to work. We've known people like this, right? I mean, in the small town, we've known people like this, right? That can work and don't want to work, right? The Democratic Party is more prone to enlarge welfare and things like that and to support people regardless of whether you can work or regardless if you just want to sign up. We're going to give you a handout. They're more giving things for free even if you can work and don't want to work, where a Republican is typically of the opinion that if you don't work, you don't eat. In other words, if you're disabled, if things like that, welfare is if you're older, if you know, if senior citizen, things like that, the government will support you. But if you can work and there's a job available for you to work, we're not going to support you. You need to take accountability for your actions. When it comes to the law, right? You need to do this for yourself and not depend on other people, other taxpayers to pay, all that, right? Republican Party is more prone to do all these things. You could go on in a list when it comes to economy. Republicans are typically small government. Democrats are normally big government. What does that mean? That means that Democrats are usually for the government having more control over things, especially now with socialism and the Bernie Sanders movement and all that kind of stuff, right? Socialism has become a bigger thing. That means bigger government having more control. God warned Israel in 1 Samuel, I believe it is, warned them against having a king because he told them that if you give that much authority to one person, if there happened to be a good king, you may get some good results. But if you have a bad king, there's no safeguard against that. You've given him too much authority. He said that he's going to enslave your daughters and your sons and force your sons to go to war and force your daughters to be his servants and all these things, right? God warned them against big government. Republicans are usually more small government. They usually let people have more freedoms and don't give so much authority to government because, remember, we don't trust men. The Bible says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm." And when you entrust too much to a man, that's never good news, right? So you always got to be skeptical of men. You always have to have a distrust for men. Republican Party is typically more prone to do that. I can go on and on about different things when it comes to things like that, but when it comes politically, it's true, God's not Republican or Democrat, and anyone that calls himself a child of God should not call himself a Republican or Democrat, because it's not about the names, it's not about the class, it's not about the titles, right? It's not about titling yourself something and criticizing. If you're a Democrat, I'm going to talk to you the same way I would a Republican. What do you believe about Jesus? Because guess what? There are Republicans that are going to hell, and Democrats that are going to hell, and Democrats that are children of God, and there are Republicans that are children of God. It's a matter of what you do you believe about Jesus. But that does not mean, I'm not going to use this as a cop-out to say that one political party is not closer to moral truth than the other one is. And that is just a fact. As long as you're getting your morality from an authority, that is God, right? So when it comes to even voting and things like that, or political correctness and all this kind of stuff today, you know what, there's... and maybe there's a lot of questions that people have about that. Or maybe most people listening to this are kind of just like, yep, you know what? I kind of believe the same thing, you know? And I would hope that would be the case.
Even the discernment that we've been talking about is applicable to all these things. Like the same discernment that the Spirit of God gives you to be able to see the things that are of God and are not. Also, even in looking at people that don't know God at all, right, the Lord can show you the things that are being done. In other words, things and parties that and laws and things that will benefit the gospel more and benefit the church more than not. So it's just, you know, we tend to be, you know, sometimes when Christians are a certain way, or people sometimes are a certain way, when they say, oh yeah, because I think that that's fair, and I think that that's not fair, you should accept this or you should not accept that. But it's not about, you know, whether you think it's fair or not. It's not about whether something is tugging on your emotions or not. It's when you weigh things against the things that the Lord is teaching you, when you can see things in a specific way, and the Spirit of God can give you discernment so that you can know and see clearly, not just judge because this is giving more rights to this group or that group, but being able to see clearly. I mean, obviously that's
right. And again, you know what? Typically, even especially, you know, a lot of people today in culture, we're doing things as to what we think is nice. And you know, I have nothing against niceness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. All right. So I'm not saying, oh, don't be nice. Again, I just said, I would speak nicer to different groups of people that the church sometimes frowns upon, where I'm like, hey, they need Jesus just like anybody else. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that, you know? You got some unbelievers that sometimes seem more compassionate than believers are, so I'm not talking about not being kind, but sometimes we want to take what kindness is and make that in as to what we want it to be. And kindness does not mean, and love does not mean telling some or lying to someone when they're doing something wrong and telling them that it's right. That's not actually in the verse in Leviticus where it says to love your neighbor as yourself. Literally the context there, if you actually look at the context, says to love your neighbor as yourself, and it says to not suffer wrong upon your neighbor. So like, I just don't understand that. And I think that is cultural today, that being nice means not telling someone when something is wrong. But like, I can love you and tell you that it's wrong. You know what I mean? I just don't understand that. If I'm doing something wrong, someone can still love me and tell me that something I said or did was wrong. So I don't quite understand that logic. But I just, when it came to political parties, I just felt like I wanted to state that too, because we don't always get political. Because again, we're teaching Jesus, right? And here's why we don't always have to get political. Because the Bible says Christ is to us wisdom. When you get to know Jesus, what happens? We end up receiving from the Holy Spirit. All the Holy Spirit flows out of us when we get to know Jesus. Just get to know one person and you actually get everything. Health to your body, strength to your bones, and also wisdom for your mind. Christ is to you wisdom and power from God. So when you get to know Jesus, he actually makes you... No one taught me this, by the way. Like even political views and things like that and like how to perceive those kind of things, you know. It's just that like when you get to know Jesus, certain things just... certain discernment and wisdom just kind of automatically just... clicks, like you said before, like kind of domino effect. It just kind of clicks for you and you're like, yeah, okay, like it just wouldn't make sense to vote any other way. But it's just discernment that God gives you as an offshoot of getting to know Jesus. So just get to know Jesus. It'll make you discerning in conversations, in I hate to use the word debate with people, but for lack of a better word, it'll make you discerning in debate with other people. Even people that you don't understand things about their religion or their cult, God will make you discerning as to, you know, how to argue certain points with people and to really make a good point with them. You get all that from just knowing Jesus, even if it's political points. Get to know Jesus and he'll make you discerning. Even more than your elders, the Bible says. He'll make you discerning. Just because, you know, you have more experience doesn't mean that you're more discerning, because why? It's Jesus that makes us discerning. Yep. When we know Jesus, that's what makes us discerning and makes us wise. Shrewd as serpents, the Bible says. And you can be shrewd when it comes to things like that. And like I said, when it comes to, doesn't matter how to vote, all that kind of stuff, or morality, or any of that. It'll knowing Jesus makes you very wise. It really, really does. Okay, are we good? Any other questions? No other questions? Anything else to add before we end?
We're good.
Good? Okay. And again, if anyone has, I think maybe more people agree with that already anyway, what I said. I've had people, though, that have asked me questions when I mentioned political things, ask me afterwards, like, oh, I voted Democrat, and like, so, you know, I don't, you know, this Democratic candidate, and why did you say that, and like, kind of concerned about things like that. You know, so obviously, if there's any questions, we could always do on a different service, sure. Anything like that. But, you know, maybe people are kind of like already, I think for the most part,
seen.
It would be good, right? People are already kind of in line with that anyway. Because it's not an unimportant thing, right? We got elections coming up that are super important elections. And just to throw that out there, I'm going to vote for Trump because I voted for him last time. And I hate a lot of stuff he says. Hate it. I hate it. I hate a lot of stuff he says. He's a darn bully lots of times. He's a jerk lots of times, really. Mm-hmm. You know? But he does a lot of stuff, though, that I approve of. If you were to take his rhetoric and his tweets out of the whole thing, he does a lot of stuff that I approve of, and I'm going to vote for him again. Because when you're given a few options, and I don't have the pick of anybody. I only have the pick of, when it comes to it, probably just two people. And if I have to pick, I'm going to pick someone, usually that's Republican, but again, I'm not going by titles, right? What do you believe? And I'm going off of whose moral judgment, what's going to make this country a better place for believers to live in and not hinder the gospel? And also, even for people that aren't believers, something that's going to be conducive for people to hear the truth more. And when it comes to policies and things like that, I only got two people to choose from. And for reasons of what I just stated before, when it comes to abortion, that's a humongous thing also. The Bible speaks about God's plan for human beings before they're even born. John was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. So to say before you're born means you're not human is not a biblical truth. If you have an abortion, God loves you, and Jesus was crucified for every one of your abortions. But if you had an abortion, that was a human being that you killed, and they can be raised. So that's, you know, it's the hope that we all have, that, you know, that there's always an expectancy that life can manifest. But all these different things. I mean, if you just took abortion by itself, I mean, all these different political things that Democrats have views on that I do not agree with, and Republicans more so they provide an atmosphere where I can teach these things to other people. And these things can go forward, and it does not hinder what I'm saying, and it's just closer to the moral judgment that God has. And so that's why you should vote that way, you know. And like I said, if someone doesn't like that, or you know, things that I state politically or something like that, that's fine. But just know this, though, if you're going to disagree with me on that, though, like I said before, you need to have a moral authority to do that. You can't just disagree with me just because you disagree with me. I'm stating the things I'm stating because I have a moral authority to do so. How do I have, not because of me, because I'm consulting with someone that I believe is teaching me these things. And for you just to look at me and say that I'm wrong and you're right when you have no moral authority to do that, I don't understand where you're getting this information from. Right. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, I can take you to the Bible and show you where those points are and how what I'm saying is correct on those points. If you're not a Bible-believing Christian, believer, then like I said, you're just making this stuff up anyway. I mean, so
there are people that'll vote for a person because they say, well, I just don't like him. Well, but
I don't
but
like somebody says, right,
but that's
either.
Not what we're talking about. It's kind of like saying, I'm not going to go to that church because I don't like the pastor. But the thing is, but you know what? That's a bad reason not to go to a church.
You got
to
have a deeper reason.
You're going to go then to a church where you do like the pastor, but what he's teaching you is not according to Christ. Totally. So we have, you know, everything we've been saying tonight, things have to be according to Christ. And to some people, you know what? Their political views are separate and apart from supposedly then their faith in Jesus, but it's not. You're only one person, and your faith in Jesus has to be the central thing in every single decision. He said, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, not if you leave me out of your voting, not if you leave me out of your schools, not if you leave me out of this, not if you leave me out of that, not if you leave me out of what you think about creation or evolution. Everything has to be centered according to Christ. And if we differ in our views, it's because one is going to be according to Christ and the other one isn't, you know?
Right, and like I said, and when you get to know Jesus, there's two different kinds of knowledge. There's the knowledge of Jesus, and then there's all the other knowledge that is true that God has in his mind. Like, for instance, God knows what we're going to do in 30 minutes, but that's not necessarily the knowledge of Jesus. He just knows what we're going to do in 30 minutes, and me with him now also. But when you get to know Jesus, though, all the other knowledge comes. Christ is to you all kinds of wisdom, political wisdom, moral wisdom. So I can state these things emphatically, that these are God's moral judgment, because when you get to know Jesus, God starts teaching you things, and it gives you discernment in every other area as well. Even like, you know, Daniel and his three friends, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that wasn't their real names, but they had more wisdom when it came to just even physical things than everybody else. And because they knew Jesus. Jesus can give you wisdom, words of knowledge, and things like that don't even have to do with the knowledge of Jesus. Just because you do know Jesus, it's the knowledge of Jesus by which you receive all of the knowledge. It's the knowledge by which you receive all power. And so when you get to know Jesus, you can state things emphatically and tell people things that are like, you know what? Things that are true, because God gives you wisdom and discernment on all those things.
You know what people may say also, like, well, why do I know that? Why should I even vote? So I'm just not going to vote. But you know what? God had a man of God appoint the king. God had Samuel appoint Saul. God had Samuel appoint David.
Right.
So not only is it right to vote, but God had a man of God appoint the king that he said they shouldn't have.
Right.
Right. So, I mean,
and if you don't vote, you're essentially voting for the other person anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I know we're going to wrap up here, but let me just state this. If you're looking at things like, oh, Democrat, Republican, you know, it's not about Democrat or Republican, but you kind of say it like, you know, neither one is more right than the other one, it's because you probably don't have a real clear-cut idea of the way things should be politically. Is God unsure about who he would vote for? You know what I'm saying? When you have a real clear-cut idea of what morality is, at least when it comes to certain things, and what justice is and things like that, and what government should be, then you can look at two people and say, well, this one is more so than the other one. You really can.
Yep.
And in the case of last election, I voted for Trump versus, you know, with Trump and Hillary, because, again, when it comes to, you know, just so many different policy things, it's just not the case that the Democratic candidate is usually not the candidate that has a more godly opinion on when it comes to morality and justice and, you know, and the judgment that God would have on things. And again, I just feel like that's such an important point to make. So many people don't understand that. If you really understand the truth about Jesus and then therefore have good political judgment, you would be able to tell between the two which is more so right and which is more so wrong. You know, it's just good judgment. It makes things a little bit more straightforward to you. And if that's not straightforward to you yet, keep getting to know Jesus. But that is something, though, that should become more and more apparent to you politically.
Yep.
It's not up in the air. It's not just like, oh, it doesn't really matter, or, you know, everybody has a little bit of good, you know, in both arguments. It's just you're a little wishy-washy on it, probably because you're a little wishy-washy on your political judgment, and you're wishy-washy on that probably because you need to get to know Jesus a little bit more. And, you know, when you do that, it just makes your discernment on a lot of things just so much clearer.